Father, thank you for showing up for us today in a special way. We know you're here because you're with us. But thank you for showing yourself strong and manifesting yourself today. Thank you, Lord God. As you said, Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. So we need you, even now. Open up the eyes of our understanding that we may see the hope of our calling. Understand the scriptures today. Speak, Lord, and we will listen. Speak, Lord, and we will follow your instructions. And all of God's wonderful people said, amen. Amen. Could you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1? This morning I made a mistake and deleted my notes. So I'm going to read out of my Bible, which is a good thing, right? Kind of torn a little bit, worn, but falling apart. But I'm not getting a new one just yet. I like it old and still falling apart. Got all my little notes in it. But God has a word for us today. I'm going to talk about God's loving plan for mankind. God's loving plan for mankind. And it's important that we lay this foundation because all that we're talking about and have been talking about over the years, but in particular recently this year, about raising up leaders and training our children and being discipled and making teachers and trainers and you becoming a teacher and trainer of others, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. Why? What is it all about anyway? And it's important that we get a context of the urgency, context of what's at stake if we don't. What's at stake if we don't? There's a lot at stake. Amen. So not just, you know, we're trying to get you to do something. You know, find a few scriptures and talk about making disciples and training people. You ought to be teachers by now. There's a lot at stake if we don't. Here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And if you would, read it out loud with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. One more time, please. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, the Bible says God is good. God is perfect. In fact, in that same chapter, chapter 1 of Genesis, near the end, or at the end, it says, God looked at all that he did. He examined it specifically. He checked his own work, by the way. All right. He checked his own work. Amen. And he said, it was very good. Say, very good. So God don't make no ugly, right? Amen. You know, you get a chance to travel in some of those areas where it's really wilderness, or, you know, it's not cities and all that stuff and smog. It's beautiful. And it's, even in this general sinful state in this world, we live in a nice, beautiful country and a beautiful world, right? Yes. Okay, you got that? God don't make evil and so forth. Amen. Then look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Notice the first part of that passage, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. That's darkness, chaos, confusion. God didn't make it that way. Amen. In fact, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. Amen. So how do you go from God creating the heavens and the earth and being a good God and does things perfect, and then you have no form and void in the earth? Something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. And the answer is in the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Because if we don't understand what's at stake, then we have a cavalier attitude. What's not for me? That's not my calling. Well, you know, it's interesting. When I got saved, I went to a church that really taught the scriptures and really challenged us to step up and be strong believers. And one of the ones I remembered earlier was that you bought with a price, you're not your own. Amen. You don't belong to you. Right. Now that you're in Christ. Who paid for me? Jesus, by his blood on the cross. And sometimes we don't share that. It's like you just want to join a Christian club. But it's going to cost you your time and commitment to God. He is, you know, when you join the Marines, they expect you to represent. Yeah, right. Let's say we got to go out and go to a certain place. You can't say, I don't feel like doing the day. No, you don't have that option. And I'm sharing this with you because too often, and I can, you know, be guilty about this as well. I can be a little more clear in years gone by. But I want to challenge you. There's a lot at stake if we don't help win the world to Christ and help them grow when they come to Christ. In particular, our children. Our children. And our grandchildren. Nieces and nephews, our spiritual children. It doesn't happen because they just come to church. In fact, there's a popular book we may refer to you again and maybe update it, but the title of the book is, some years ago, is entitled, You Lost Me. The church, you lost me. These are young people who went to church, grew up in church. When they get 18, 19, they're out of here. It happens in every church in America. Probably not unique to America, but especially in America. You know, we like to have lights and all the gadgets and stuff. But we need to go deep. And we need to go deep as individuals. Now, I mentioned earlier, I applauded you, didn't I? That you do a good job and you do a good work, right? But we can do better. Amen. We should have 500 young people in our youth ministry. You know, I won't look your way, look at the camera. Well, some parents never bring their kids to church. They come, but never bring their kids to church. And I understand the custody situations and all that, but you just need to work that out. You see, if your son was doing something to daughter and they weren't getting their homework and, you know, they weren't learning math and so forth, and then they're with the former spouse, and look, you know what, bring him with me during the weekend, I'll make sure he gets his homework done because you're not doing your job. Okay? The same thing with the Word of God. Amen. Because a lot is at stake. Say, a lot is at stake. Have you found Revelation chapter 12 yet? Let me get there. My Bible's kind of tearing up. Let me get the right page. Sorry. Here in Revelation chapter 12, because something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Stop there. Say, there was a war in heaven.
There was a war in heaven.
Say it again.
There was a war in heaven.
This is, if you will, the original Star Wars. Yeah, no, really, really. Satan was once called Lucifer. He was special. He was gifted. He was the chief worship leader. He had pipes in him to make music. He was handsome. But the Bible says that he got beside himself. And he said, I wanted to be like the Most High God. You wonder why God hates jealousy. And so we're going to read in a moment that there's rebellion in heaven. And guess who lost? Satan. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And then it says in verse 8, and prevailed not. Say prevailed not.
Prevailed not.
Say prevailed not.
Prevailed not.
Satan did not prevail with his angels. He took part of the heavenly host with him. He deceived some of the angels who created by God to go and follow Lucifer. That's the kind of influence he had. And he's still deceiving folk today to follow him. In fact, the Bible also says, I got to talk this because you got to be raising kids and raising young adults and even adults who are growing in Christ. The Bible says in Timothy, Paul's writing this to Timothy, he says, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So that spirit, that seducing spirit is about, you know, you don't need all that. Don't require all that to be saved. You know, God's in your heart, but you're not growing. Not you, but those maybe watching today. And he rebelled against God and lost. And he couldn't prevail because God is stronger.
Right.
And that same power that God resisted Satan with is in you in Christ.
Amen.
That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you.
Amen.
To resist every demonic force. So maybe you have a child or a separate person you're praying for. Maybe it's a niece or nephew. Keep praying for them. God will honor that.
Amen.
Pray in the word, then pray in tongues.
Yes.
And love them. Encourage them. Because there's a lot at stake. What's at stake? It's to be lost forever and ever and ever from God. The Bible calls it hell. And I know people say, I don't believe in no God. I don't believe in no devil. I don't believe in no hell. That's what the devil wants you to believe. That's deception. You know, people go around and say, well, I've outgrown that. What does that mean? I've outgrown. I don't need that no more. I've outgrown that. Deception. And I'm going to tell you, anybody live in my house, they go to church. No, seriously. You see, my domain, your house is your domain. And God's, and your children, your mother-in-law, and maybe for 6 months they live with you, they go in the church too. Maybe, you know, neighbors. See, because what happens, they bring in an unchurched, ungodly, kind of lukewarm, that's impacting your family. Yeah. And in your house, and that same spirit of worldliness in your house. It's a lot at stake. Amen. It matters who you expose your children to. When I raised our children, they couldn't spend the night over at people's houses that we didn't know. And I didn't approve. And some of them were relatives. And got mad at me. You think you're better than me? Well, I'm not saying that. But if you think that, it's okay. But I'm not thinking that way. Because we have to be more intentional. Because our children can be in the church. And if they know Christ, don't grow. If we don't make sure and ensure they get exposed to grow, and then they won't be fruitful, and they'll find out this word don't work because they're not really understanding it. Then they walk away, and then they say, I don't believe in Jesus no more. I don't believe in God. And next thing you know, they're out there under our watch. Say a lot is at stake.
A lot is at stake.
Yeah, it's a lot at stake. And so when Lucifer rebelled, he got kicked out of heaven. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. You know, God didn't play no games. When you read about end of the book and the Revelation about the Battle of Armageddon, it's about an hour. It don't take long. God handles his business. And so when we understand this, that it's such an evil thing to God, it's disrupting his plan, delayed his plan to have man to live a long life and be fruitful on the earth and live with God, and Satan is messing it up. Because he had a domain on the earth, meaning domain. His earth was his place where he primarily operated. He would go back and forth between heaven, but he has a domain. Reading your Bible is there. He had a throne on the earth, Lucifer did. But that wasn't enough. He wanted to be up with God and up there with him. And God didn't have it. So there was a clear war. And then when he came, he destroyed the earth. Say, destroy the earth. That's how between verse 1, God created everything wonderful, and then verse 2 of Genesis 1, it was no form, void, chaos, darkness. God didn't create the darkness.
Amen.
Not in the earth.
Amen.
He brought the sun and the light, but it was darkness. If you study science, there was a mankind here before. Prehistoric man and animals. And many of them were destroyed in a sudden destruction. So much so, some of the dinosaurs had vegetation. When they find them, still have vegetation in their mouth. It was that sudden. He hit the earth and destroyed it. You know how an angry wife can get mad at her husband? She just destroyed everything he gave her. Now, did I say that? I'm sorry. Yeah. She's angry. So angry, I don't want nothing that identifies with him. Where do you think I came from? Lucifer. That destruction, evil, hateful. I know the hurt. I'm not knocking the hurt and the pain, what he may have done. But see, that's a reaction, what the devil did in the earth. So he destroyed the prior mankind, and God decided, we're going to make somebody new. And this time, they're going to be like me.
Amen.
They're going to be in my image. The Bible refers to the angels like the sons of God. So here, Lucifer was one of those sons of God, and now he's rejected and out to kick out to the pasture. You can imagine how he's feeling. He blew it. He blew it. So now he's still around. He's not in chains. One day he'll be in a lake of fire. He'll be chained up. He's walking around seeking whom he may devour. And he's starting out with the young people, children, the babies. Oh, yeah, the babies. Don't even get out of the womb. No, alive. We want to kill the babies because they may get saved one day and serve God and become maybe a Billy Graham or a Catherine Kuhlman or minister or good mother and father. No, we don't want that. They raise their children in the ways of God. We, in case that happens, let's kill them now. It's not a form of birth control to kill the babies in the womb. The God is his people. I know it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. But it's designed, it's on purpose. It's designed to keep you thinking. I'm not giving you Bishop Ed's doctrine or opinion. I'm giving you the scriptures. And the ones I quote that I may not put up, just look them up in the concordance and look them up online. It's all there. Do a word search and you'll find it. Amen. Look up Lucifer. Go there, in fact, in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28, and you read those chapters. You'll see very clearly and describe in detail what he did and how he had a place and he failed. So he hates mankind. Any person that looks like God. We are made in the image of God, every human being. And he hates us. And he wanted to destroy our potential. Now, the potential, and it's not just I become a lawyer, doctor, have a nice house and family, and, you know, be a good citizen. That's nice. That's important. Not the most important. He wants to destroy you don't end up in the kingdom. You don't live forever with God. It's his way of getting back in God. He knows his end is coming. He knows it. But if I can get back at God a few more, I got a few licks in. But for us, when people don't receive Christ, they're forever separated from God. You ever see a lost little child, maybe around 2-year-old, gets lost from their mom or dad in the mall? How they cry out? He said, where's this mama, daddy? The mama's lost. Where are they? He got her hand. Mama's lost. You know. And we cry, Abba, Father. And there are people that are crying out and don't know they need to cry out to God. The Bible says the earth groans, waiting for the children of men to rise up. But if we're not populating the earth with enough of them, then our influence is limited. Because God works through men, and so in the earth, because he's given man dominion in the earth. So God shows up where you go and make him known. This is huge. I'll say it again. God shows up where you go and make him known. You go to your office tomorrow, or you're making him known. Now, I'm not saying just come out with a big T-shirt on and passing out flyers and bulletins and all that stuff. But you have lunch with people and you talk with them and you pray over your food when you're together or you hear their problems and say, can I pray for you? I'm in a group. I have a prayer group or at my life group at church and friends. And can we pray for you? Well, I'll pray for you. And then you go to God and then to get results. That's what happens in this church all the time. But those who are new or haven't tapped in, I want to encourage you to tap in because you need to go, where God has always blessed you and sent you already. There's a world you've been sent, high schools and elementary schools. There's a world you've been sent where you work at a truck driver or a technician. There's a world you've been sent already, and God wants you to go there and make him known. And then as they become to grow in Christ, you help them. When I received Christ, I was all in. All I knew how to, I didn't know how to be lukewarm. All I knew was to be all in. When I partied for the devil, I partied hardy. I went to the first party, then around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I'm looking for the after party. Now, you know, so all late night, all night prayer wasn't hard for me. I partied for the devil. And many of you did too. Now, too often we want to come and get a comfort, and that's too often how we present Christ. We don't present Christ that you bought with a price and you're not your own. But that's the Bible. And see, sometimes you wonder why some Christians don't live long. Oh, read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read Deuteronomy chapter 6 on your own. It talks about, and Joshua referenced it the last couple of weeks ago. He mentioned it, but it says, as you teach your children the word of God, that you teach these commandments of the word of God, that you live long on the earth. You, the parent, live long on the earth. There's a lot at stake. God says, you know, I'm going to bless you with longer life while you're teaching your children the word. If you're too busy, got 3 or 4 jobs, trying to make it, don't have time, then it's on our hands. The Bible talks about also that their blood is on our hands. And we don't want that. We don't want that in your thinking. Oh, my son, my uncle, my nephew, I was with him all the time. He's my best cousin, and now he's gone. You don't want that on your hands. You're not even sure they knew Christ, or you knew they didn't know Christ. It's not good. Say it's not good. And then it says here, verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. They were kicked out, so demons don't go to heaven. They don't mess around. They don't do that. They're in the earth realm, the terrestrial area. Just they're on in the earth and just above the earth, the terrestrial area. That's why the battle is in the heavenlies too, because the demons are up. They deal with regions and countries. It's in the scriptures, also in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm giving you context. Why is it important to raise up leaders that will teach others also? Because they don't get taught, they won't grow. If they don't grow, they can easily walk away. And they walk away from the very thing they need. Amen? Amen. And then it says here, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Say cast out.
Cast out.
That old serpent called the devil and Satan. I told you that's who he is. Which deceived, notice, deceiveth the whole world. Say the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, his followers. Oh, yeah. His angels. Lucifer has some angels under him. He has some authority. Yeah. His angels were cast out. You know, God has rank order, responsibilities, and so he was a key person. But all of them are cast out. You followed your boss, you're going too. And I share that because we're living in a world that Satan is dominating things. I'm not saying there's a devil on every bush, but you can't be naive by the evil going on in our country and our world today. Satan's behind it. People are upset, they're mad, and it's just not good. And our young people, if we don't help them, they look to the world for the answers. And they'll give them an answer. You don't need that. You know, create your own cosmos. I'm listening to NPR. Some guy starts singing, and he starts talking about his music. Yeah, we create our own cosmos. You know, create your own God. That's in the world. Yeah, if you're not careful, you get caught up in it. You like the groove. Yeah, it's nice. You know, yeah, feel good. Yeah, create your own, my own cosmos. Where's Jesus and all that? Where's the lifestyle that honors God? Except love the one I'm with today. But tomorrow I love somebody else. Let me just touch on that. You see, if you're not careful, you read what I just said about, you know, like sleeping around or whatever, love somebody. But the reality is, the key institution that God uses as focus is the family. To create the culture. That's why he says, fathers, teach your children. And then in Psalm 78, read Psalm 78 too. Read Psalm 78 too. It talks about how the fathers would teach the children. And a lot of times, the mother's doing the teaching. That's a problem, fellas. We got to know the word too. And you know you're working, you know all that, but you got to learn to trust God and put God first and let him help you, because the fathers have influence. I can tell you, if mom go to church, kids go to church, dad will go to church, and he don't really pray and read the Bible, that son, when he gets older, I'm going to do what dad does. But the family is huge. That's why marital problems and divorce, or having children out of wedlock. It's all designed to not to have the ideal family structure or family, husband and wife together, them not working well together, they have confusion. And the Bible said, well, there's confusion, there's every evil work. So we have to learn to get along with one another as husbands and wives, biblically speaking. Otherwise, our children are at stake. We literally open the house to the devil if we arguing all the time. And God, that's why love is important. Forgiveness is important. All this is biblical. They can get a degree from Harvard. Be a doctor, lawyer, whatever you want. And not know God. If we're not careful. Because some of us work harder on the degree stuff, academic stuff, more so than spiritual stuff. And you wonder why there's still problems. Because in God's mind, I'm not first. You can be value education. You know that's important. But you know what? It's the kingdom. Because these kids, in fact, let me share this way. Got a few minutes to go. Listen to me. Some of the greatest leaders that go against the body of Christ are people who grew up in the church who once so-called were Christians. And I can tell you, they weren't discipled well. You can have things be discouraging until you see them in church and all that. And people, I understand that. People are people. We're all not perfect. We're all growing at different levels and so forth. But my point is this. You don't want that to be your son or daughter. To be a smart congressman, maybe the president of the United States one day, and goes against the things of God. And that's your grandson. You know what? You don't come on all right because they just went to church, y'all. I went to church almost every Sunday. I did not know God. I got baptized in the Baptist church. Did not know God. I was going to hell. I was doing stuff as acting like I'm going to hell too. But I went to church. It was social to me. Chicken dinners, nice big friends, check out the little cute girl. It was social to me. I enjoy going back. I like going to church. I look somewhat like a sinner. One lady gave me, the girl gave me a little note. I'm second row. Little note. I got this. You want to buy a roll of Red Devils? Barbiturates. I'm thinking, I'm looking that bad in church. I share that is that we have to go deeper. It has to get into our heart. And I said, many of us, we're doing really well. But it's not just your own biological children. What about your spiritual children? Even your adult and young adult children. Don't forget about them. The seed planted in them. Keep praying for them. Encourage them. Love them. Because God got his hand upon them. Amen. And oftentimes he's looking for an intercessor like you to stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Don't give up on your children. Amen. But if we focus on advancing, as a pastor, you can imagine, some of you all have an idea how active my schedule is. I meet with men just about every week. Unless I'm traveling. As a pastor, I disciple people. And then I'll meet with other men on an individual basis. And I have men travel with me at times. Because Jesus says, follow me. All that is part of the way Jesus does it. See, a lot of things are not just taught, they're caught. Amen. They're caught. Say they're caught. So if you just have this sitting in a congregation experience, it's almost like concert, large lecture hall environment. And you can hide in the back like students do in college and don't learn nothing. Because they don't do the homework. They don't follow up. So I want to encourage the next level for us as a church is to raise up many more people that's not just say because Pastor had asked you to do it. No, you got to sit in the Word. If you don't see it, you won't do it. I want you to understand it for yourself. I got to be leading people, helping people grow, because somebody helped you. Amen. Somebody prayed for you. Amen. That's why you're here. Amen. Amen? Amen. Look at John 3:16. This ministering to you?
Amen.
If it don't, say, oh, ouch. I know it's not the most popular TV video congregational sermon, but you know what? Like my son said the other day, you know, you want the doctor to tell you the truth, okay? The doctor needs to tell you the truth. If you're dealing with cancer or you got this thing eating you up, you want to know the truth, what's really going on. What's going on, doc, so I can do? I know how to pray and how to deal with it. What's going on? And we're a little older. It's not time for you to be checking out, by the way. Kids are grown. That ought to be some of the most productive times of your life. Listen to me. Here you are, you got the house almost paid off or paid off. Kids are on their own now. They're out of your pocket a lot, you know, whatever. You know, you happy. You know, you got your own schedule. Great. And you got 15, 25, 30, 40 years of word in you. Who are you sharing it with? Who are you sharing it with? Some of the young ladies, be a mother to them, a father to them. Who are you sharing it with? Maybe your children are away for other states, other cities, far away. But who are you sharing with even now? Because we need one another. Every joint supplies. But notice here the heart of God, John 3, 16. It says, for God so loved the world, say so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Say only begotten son. The one that he begot, not the one he may have created like an angel, son of God, but no, he begot out of him. That whosoever, say whosoever, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God says, you're on a course. Mankind is on a course of perishing, but I don't want you to perish. I love. God's motivation is love, not hate. The world thinks God and Christianity is about hating people. And Christians who hate people, they don't get it. And I wonder whether some of them even know God anyway. Yeah. Bible talks about that. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Amen. For God is love. Amen. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Love, let us love God. Love, Father, let us love one another. Amen. For lovers of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is what? But what happens, they get out of the media. They don't get the good people like you and I who love people. We need to create more love, share more love. Amen. God is love. Say God is love. And defend God, too, in those office meetings. Don't let folk talk bad about your God and you don't say nothing. Amen. You know, and it's like spitting on your face. You know what? You didn't know who you are. No, you know, you may not believe in God, but don't talk that way about my God in front of me. Amen. If they did it about your mama, how will you act then? You know what? See, but we have to see what's at stake. Because if we lie, we get ourselves back in the corner. I don't want to say nothing. And the kids tell you, I don't want to say nothing. At school, I don't want to say nothing. But when you start going deep with God and taste and see that Lord is good, you realize he's a good God, he's a strong God, he's a powerful God. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm happy about that. Amen. Amen. But you got to let him know. You got to get to know God. But notice here, see, God is good. Amen. Verse 17, for God sent his son, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. The world thinks God hates them. That's not true. It's not true. God loves us. He loves the world. He loves the people in the world. He wants them back. This is a rescue plan we've been given, my friend. It's a rescue plan. Our children, they look all cute and stuff. They still love the devil. Okay, until they get to know Christ. You need to know this. They have to come to a place on their own to invite Christ in their heart on their own. So they're cute. They're nice. They're mannerable at 14. Don't know Jesus. They die. They're going to hell, my friend. Under our watch. Even the kids would play with us. My kids, when they were younger, my wife, you know, she was a homemaker. She'd be at the house and, you know, she'd make sure they all know Jesus because we shouldn't want no negative influence on our kids. One time I asked one little boy, I says, you want to know Jesus? You want to tell everybody? Get my story right. Hold on. Come on, stand.
It was actually Josh. He was over my sister's house, and the neighbor's son came out. You remember Josh? You want to tell it?
Go ahead and tell it.
Well, anyway, Joshua said, wait a minute, do you want to go to heaven? He said, do you want to go to heaven? And the little boy said, I don't know. I got to go ask my mom first.
But First Lady was working on it. Please follow me. For God sent not his son. He didn't send him to condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. And how through him is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is in us. So through us is how he does it. He don't do it independent of us. Even the Bible talks about how Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. People think, oh, I'm glad Jesus is praying for me. I don't get a chance to pray too much. No, no, he prays through you. He ever lives to pray, but he needs a body to work through. Amen. Romans 12 said, present your bodies. It's time, it's effort, but it's worth it because there's a lot at stake.